Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We lost a comedy legend last week, and that's Chicago's own Bob Newhart. Now, the tribute for Bob, by the way, that aired on CBS this past Monday was number one in its time slot with 4.1 million viewers. Now, back in the day when the Bob Newhart Show and Newhart were on CBS, with just a handful of channels, they topped 21 million viewers, and they were at the top of the ratings. Now, one of Bob's co-stars on Newhart and one of the co-stars of the Apple TV hit Palm Royale, and that was what the theme was from with Carol Burnett and Kristen Wiig, is my friend Julia Duffy. Julia, welcome in.
Thank you, Dave. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss. Bob was truly a great, sweet, talented man, wasn't he?
He was absolutely one of a kind and just loomed enormous in my life. He was so huge in my life that I can't imagine my life without him. It wasn't just any job, you know? And I never wanted this day to come.
I'm telling you.
And I thought I was prepared for it, but I wasn't.
Yeah, I think we all knew he was not doing well this last year, especially after his wife passed away, but you know, I've talked to Bob probably a couple of dozen times over the last 12 years, on air, off air, but sometimes, as you know, Julia, like when you're in a TV series, when you're in movies, you don't speak to your co-stars again. You don't see him again, but you kept in contact with Bob all these years.
Oh, absolutely. We were, the whole cast was so bonded that there was no question that we would stay in touch. It was always harder back then, before email and social media. There's so many people that you want to keep in touch with, and you try, but somehow it never goes the way you want it to go. But since social media, it has been much easier to keep in touch with people. You know, we have so many jobs,
yes,
and you work so closely and intensely, and you become very, very close. And we definitely kept in touch, even though it was before the age of email and everything. And then, of course, Bob was constantly being honored.
Yes.
And so every time I was asked to appear in something, I'd say, it's okay, Bob, I'm in it for the long run. Whatever it takes, I'll honor you as many times as you like.
Well, and you know, and people can say this all the time about other people, like, you know, who passed on, like, oh, he was a great guy and everything. Bob was truly a great man, and we didn't do as many live interviews. We recorded interviews for air when it was convenient for him, when he felt good during the day. But you know, I probably had longer conversations with him off air than I did on air, and asked me about my life and my kids. And you know, he was invested in his friends and the people that he cared about.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, once he was close to someone, that was it. And nobody could break our bonds from that show. It was so much like a family. And it was, well, I was on it for 7 years. I came on in the second year. But it was 8 years of, you know, being together every day, 22, 24 weeks a year. And It's such an ensemble, and doing comedy is always a group effort, and we just really spent our days making each other laugh.
Yeah,
that's what we did.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was Bob's second sitcom, and of course, you knew just being in the business. I mean, the success with the Bob Newhart Show, and even earlier than that. I mean, the guy came out of Chicago here, as you know, and WGN Radio was such a big part of his early existence, promoting his albums and so forth. He came on this station all the time. And did just that, and then he had a variety show on in the early 1960s, which they canceled after a year, but he got a Peabody. You know, I think he got a Golden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It was like an iconic show all the way back then. And so when this second sitcom came, and it was kind of rebooted that second season, you know, went from videotape to film. They changed up some of the cast, including yourself. But the 14th episode of season one, you played the cousin of another character. Your character debuted, and then season two, you were a regular. How did you first get that part?
Well, I auditioned for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a scene with Bob, and of course, since I had watched every episode of his old show, and I was so familiar with him, like I grew up watching him. I knew that he was a reactor and that I needed to make him uncomfortable. making the character of Dick uncomfortable was the best thing you could do.
Yeah.
And who better than a spoiled little rich girl? Somebody from a whole other world that he knew nothing about, a very girly girl. And it was just very fun to do that. And it was a very well-written scene and episode. And so there was no question. I mean, if you'd been watching Bob, you knew exactly how to play that scene. And for his reactions, that's all your job was to do that. And it was great fun.
And that was a big, that was, at the end of the day, it was a big prize when you could make him even better, because, you know, he did absolutely stand back and let everybody else shine on both those shows. But when you knew you made the scene stronger because of Bob's reactions, that must have been gold, right?
Yeah, he didn't need to worry about anybody stealing his thunder, because nothing was going to be funnier than his reaction.
That's true.
To everything.
Yeah. When did you first discover Bob? Like when you were, you know, growing up, or, you know, in the early days of his career, like what was the first thing that caught your eye? Was it the Bob Newhart show?
I think it was, although I know that I had seen him on talk shows and found him very funny. You know, when I was growing up, there was like three networks.
Yeah, right.
We kind of watched everything. And we watched variety shows and What's My Line and things like that. I come from that era. So as a kid, I was very oriented to comedians and, you know, people like Steve Allen. I mean, these characters of another time who were themselves and were so entertaining on TV and on talk shows. It was very influential to grow up like that. I mean, our icons then, the people that we thought were cool,
mm-hmm.
were like over 40. It was a different world.
They were.
It was the Rat Pack. But they earned their cool.
Right.
Everybody from, you know, those, that era, the people who played Vegas and all the comedic people. So it had a big impression on me. I don't know what it would be like now if the cool people were just a few years older than me.
Right, right.
As I was growing up.
Right, exactly.
It was a different world, and it made you very, I think it made a kid very sophisticated in their judgment of comedy, real comedy people.
Yeah, you said you saw him on some TV shows and some interview shows. He hosted The Tonight Show, I think, 80 or 100 times. Over the course of the 70s. Yeah. And he was even considered in all of Johnny's contract negotiations. And I'm leaving this time. You know, Bob was one of those guys that did it. I remember him talking to me about it and saying, you know, I did it for a week and I was a nervous wreck. Like, that's just not my thing. He loved being on stage. He loved doing his comedy, loved doing his stand up. But doing that show 5 days a week was just not his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he wrote his own material and performed it endlessly and repeatedly, his bits, his routines. So then all of a sudden you got to deal with somebody else.
Right. That's very true.
And he just had to deal with the audience.
Right.
And he knew how to do everything with them. He controlled them completely with his timing. So I would imagine that would not be nearly as much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the timing, because that's what comedy's all about. But it was all about Bob's timing and his reactions, right? I mean, again, you said 8 years, you know, working with him, you knew that the timing was so important. His reactions were so important.
Yeah. And there was, to have a live audience, to be doing a sitcom was the best, because he could play that audience. But the way he would pause on the wave of the joke to let you know you could start laughing now, I just thought that was amazing. It was very brave. I've never seen a stand-up quite so brave. And I know Jack Benny was a big influence on him.
Mm.
And I think it's because Benny also waited. He trusted that it was funny.
Yeah.
And he didn't forge ahead. He let the audience enjoy it all the way to the joke. And I can see why he felt he was a big influence.
And you said it's about the audience. It was about the audience for Bob, too. I mean, he was so central focused. And he told me about this, too. Like, he's so central focused. It was important. And you must have seen it, too, and how they reacted to everything. He was wondering, how did the audience react so that he could adjust something, fix something, right?
Yes. And let me tell you, his ear for the audience when on show nights when we were shooting and things had to be done over. And sometimes, you know, the audience has to be patient at a live taping of a sitcom. And he'd say, we've got to go again. We're going to lose him.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because the audience was everything to him. And the other thing is that after the show would air, and then the next day he'd come in, and he would immediately want to talk to the sound people about the laugh track. I mean, it was our laugh track. It was our audience. But still, things happen in post. And his ear for it was amazing. And I realized one time we had for some reason, a drum kit on the set. I don't know what the story was. I don't remember now. And he sat down to the drum kit and started playing. I thought, oh, yeah. He's really got an ear for rhythm.
Wow.
He could play that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. Like, Newhart was such a well-written series to begin with. And the way it ended, I think, just shocked America. And I know it's been talked about ad nauseum, but, like, anyone talks about, you know, show endings, and they'll talk about The Sopranos and the scene going dark. But Bob, that Newhart show is right up there. Absolutely right up there with one of the most historic closures ever, because nobody expected it.
No, absolutely nobody saw it coming. It was quite amazing. It was a brilliant idea. It was just completely brilliant. There was nothing they could have done that could have been any better. And then the way they wrote it, you know, just the lead up to it of,
right,
it seemed like the last episode, the inn was getting sold, and, you know,
right,
you're going forward in time, and now we have Peter and I have a little girl, and,
right,
and so it was just it was so wonderful the way the writers wrote it, because it seemed just like a last episode, but you had no idea that it was going to turn out to all be a dream. It was kind of funny to me that this was the season, or very close to the season, I think it was the same season, where they did that bit on Dallas where it was all a dream.
That's right, Bobby in the shower, right.
Yes, or the whole preceding season, I guess, and what had happened.
Yeah.
Maybe not the whole show. And so it was even more clever because people had thought that was outrageous. And then we did it, too.
That's
excellent.
Right. Yeah, but way over the top. Way over the top.
Yeah.
Got a lot more attention, for sure. We are talking to actress Julia Duffy. She co-starred with Bob on 80s and early 90s sitcom Newhart. And she now co-stars with Carol Burnett, Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, and Ricky Martin. Laura Dern 2, Season 2, is coming early next year. And we'll talk to Julia about that and more right after this on 720 WGN. You're a Midwest girl, Minneapolis. I lived there in the early 90s. I love it there. You went to the American Academy of Dramatic Art. And your first roles were on a soap opera. It was Love of Life, and then later The Doctors. And I literally had one of our listeners text in that they're watching The Doctors again on retro TV, and they're like, I think I know her. And that was you.
Somebody told me that, that it's running.
Yeah.
That's a lot of episodes. We'll keep somebody busy.
It is. It absolutely is. But after Newhart, you went on to do Designing Women and The Mommies and Shameless and a lot of Broadway. But Palm Royale came along, debuted earlier this year on Apple TV Plus, 1969 Palm Beach. And I love these period pieces. What was it like getting into the late 60s, the fashion, and the vibe for the series?
Well, I happen to be the age that I was there in 1969.
Okay.
And I worked in a dress shop for a few years as a teenager. And when I walked into the costume department, I said, oh, I used to sell all of these.
Yeah.
All of these polyester outfits in mint green, pink, and baby blue. And I remembered that era so well because I was selling those outfits. So it was quite funny for me, and there were times when I thought, maybe I should be the technical advisor here.
You should probably,
I remember all of it. I was there, and not everybody was.
Yeah, that's true. Such a great show, though, and so much talent on one show.
I know. I still can't quite believe that I got to work with all of those people. And, you know, It just seemed like girls' night out all the time.
That's great. Carol Burnett, I know I read that you discovered her on the Gary Moore Show, which, you know, that show kind of gets lost in TV history. Unfortunately, he was a brilliant guy. But Carol's a legend. And how amazing that you're on the same set as this legend. I mean, you work with Newhart and then you work with Carol Burnett. I mean, come on.
I know. People that I absolutely admired and worshipped. Now, I told Carol this ad nauseum. I'm sure I drove her crazy. But when I was a kid, I watched the Gary Moore Show, and I was obsessed with Carol Burnett. Now, meanwhile, I was going to be a dramatic actress one day. I thought I was going to be Julie Harris. And I was so upset when Carol left. I was like 10 years old when she left the Gary Moore Show. It was like a personal affront to me because I was obsessed with her, as if she had rejected me. And I remember my mother saying, you know, you should do comedy. And I thought, oh, no, I'm a serious actress. Well, I think she kind of was onto something there when I got that upset that Carol Burnett
left right.
the Gary Moore Show to go to Broadway.
Your character's name is Mary Jones. David Soul, interesting. I will say you are just stealing scenes left and right on this series. It just must be so much fun.
It's so much fun. Well, I play quite a wacky character who isn't really like anybody else. And, you know, and then at the end you find with that scene and Laura that she actually had a dark time in her marriage. And she wasn't just this pampered Palm Beach person. And there was a reason that she's so kind of dark and twisted, as it turns out.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? You mentioned earlier in their conversation about, you know, at one time there was three stations. It's so hard to find what to watch. And I mean, it must be even hard for you, like, to figure out what to discover, because there's thousands of shows almost streaming out there right now. But this one is truly, truly a stand-up.
Well, it's not like anything else, that's for sure. It really is a standout. And they did such a beautiful job with the period. And then setting it in 1969, of course, everything was about to change drastically
sure.
in the world.
Absolutely.
And that was really a very clever thing to do. And I said to Abe, Abe Sylvia, our creator, showrunner, I said, I mean, he's pretty young. I said, how did you know about these women in this time and what it was like? And he said, just my mother and her friends. And I mean, I thought that was very interesting that he got it.
Yeah, got it right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can rewatch Newhart streaming on Amazon Prime. If you haven't caught the first season of Palm Royale, you can watch it now on Apple TV Plus. Thank you, Julia. I mean, what a pleasure speaking to you about Bob.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And also, you can watch season two of Palm Royale, which we start shooting at the end of September.
Love that. Have fun doing it, too.
Thank you. And let me say that when I grew up, I used to listen to WGN under the covers in with my transistor radio in Minneapolis, because it was widely known that on cloudy nights, we could get WGN from Chicago, and that was the coolest station to listen to.
50,000 watts, baby, right there. You got it. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.